Hi, everyone. This is Jono. As you're going to hear in the intro, this was a bit of an interesting show to record due to all kinds of issues. The Gremlins really snuck into this one with the networking and other bits and pieces. But also the audio is a bit rubbish because Brian and I were at a conference, namely the excellent OSCON conference in Portland. So I was recording through a crappy laptop microphone and Brian was sat in a room full of lots of other people. So I did my best to try and bodge this into something that sounds reasonable. But as you're going to hear, I'm not very good at sound engineering. So bear with us and normal service will be resumed. And if it isn't, you're going to get a full refund. Have fun.
Welcome to show 47, which is an unlucky number for us, apparently, because this is something of an abbreviated show of Bad Voltage. So, coming to you live from all across the world on every poor Wi-Fi network known to man, we present Jeremy Garcia, Brian Lunduke, John O'Bacon, and Stuart Langridge talking about one thing and then other things.
So this brings up, we should do a future segment on why, especially at tech conferences, is networking so crap? Because part of the problem we're having now is Jono and Mr. Lunduke are both at a conference. And one of the larger tech conferences in North America at that, it's not some small conference, it's OSCON. And Brian is completely unable to get a connection that works for more than a minute or two at a time. And Jono's is better, but not good. So what you would expect at something like OSCON, the networking would be flawless.
Oh, well, yeah, but the problem with a flawless network is it looks flawless until 80,000 people turn up, all of whom have got four phones and a watch and two laptops, all of which try to get a DHCP address off of the one Wi-Fi access point you've got, and then it all dies on its ass, right?
Yeah, that's a problem, and it's not just we've just had, it seems like Gremlins have basically snuck into this show. This happens from time to time. We've learnt this with podcasting, is that every so often, everything goes wrong.
Well, luckily, it seems us, and we'll knock on wood here, it seems fairly rare for us. It's not a common
experience. Because we are super professional, but even given our high level of professionalism and genius, every now and again, the universe just vomits on our eiderdown, and this has collectively been one of those weeks.
Yes, it has.
So we're gonna have one segment. We're going to talk about Reddit and what's going on. There's been a lot of controversy in the Reddit world, both in terms of how Reddit functions itself as well as how it's being managed. So we get into that. And then we're also going to just kind of throw together some... the nice way of describing this is going to be some of the Bad Voltage best bits. The more accurate way of saying this is we're going to lash together some stuff to fill time.
No, that's not the truth at all, right? This is an opportunity for people who have joined the show, who didn't join the show right at the beginning at the same time as we did, to get an opportunity to hear some of the things they might have missed.
Yes.
Yeah, spin it, brother. Spin it.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about, right? I should work for Reddit.
So, normal service will be resumed in episode 48, we hope, or we'll have to do this again. So, we should be good. So, bear with us.
I think it'll be fine.
So,
you know what?
Go on, Jeremy.
And now, an abbreviated Bad Voltage.
Recently, there's been some drama in the Reddit world.
What were the odds?
I mean, outside of the usual drama, of course. Ellen Powell was their CEO, and there was some uproar over this one of their staff members called Victoria, who's very prominent in the Ask Me Anything subreddit and various other places. She apparently got the sack, and everybody thought that it was Ellen Powell, because people don't seem to like Ellen Powell. And then Ellen Powell basically stepped down, and now all this other stuff has been coming on where the Reddit founders are basically saying that the board asked Victoria to leave. I don't quite understand how this stuff fits together. So, but basically, it's a bit of a disaster at Reddit Towers.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Reddit Towers. But I think there's quite a few different moving pieces all going on at once, which is people seem to not like Ellen, unrelated to her being the CEO of Reddit. Just the things that happened with the lawsuit, you know, with Kleiner and other things. She seems to have a lot of vitriol aimed at her in general. But I think, to at least how I'm reading things, and this is going to be one of those things where I think details are going to come out for a while. So we're definitely working with incomplete data here. But it seems like the founders are making some pretty bad decisions and really fundamentally don't understand their own property, and then kind of scapegoated Pau in this particular case, because it seemed like she had nothing to do with the firing and probably had users' privacy and freedom of speech more in mind than the founders do moving forward. So it seems like what they jumped on her for...
Do we have a copy of that that statement that the previous CEO made that talked about that sort of thing?
Well, that's another interesting kind of facet of this, is the ex-CEO really just has started dropping bombshells left and right. I think it's, for some reason, that he really wants to burn every bridge he had in that community, I think. But I don't have it. I'm sure one of us could look it up real quick, but I don't have it in front
Stuart,
of me.
Pull that shit up. We need to talk about that, because that was awesome.
He really did start dropping hammers.
As Jeremy says, there's an awful lot of moving parts to this. The fundamental underlying thing, I think, is that the people who run Reddit have become aware, have become concerned about the fact that, you know, an awful lot of genuinely horrible shit goes on Reddit, right? They're now the biggest white supremacy site on the internet, as an example, right? Bigger than Stormfront. And realistically, every single...
Is that real?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize that until looking into this either, but it's definitely true.
Every single press article about Reddit or whatever has at least one paragraph saying, oh, and by the way, look at all this shit that goes on. And it's all fucking terrible, right? And a lot of this stuff springs out of their desire to, well, their inability to know what they want to do about this. Do they want to defend everyone's right to talk about fucking terrible, terrible things and harass other Redditors and harass people who are not on Reddit and harass other subreddits? Or do they want to take a stand against it and say that's not what Reddit's about? And because they've been very inconsistent in their messaging. As a perfect example, the new guy, Steve, who was one of the founders and is now CEO again, has said, well, Alex and I didn't set up Reddit to be a bastion of free speech. And it took the swarming armies of Reddit 30 seconds to dig up an article from 4 or 5 years ago where he explicitly said, we set up Reddit to be a bastion of free speech, in the same words, right? So, and of course, the way Reddit works is they'll hook onto anything that they think is a problem and blow it up into stupid drama for no reason. But a lot of the other stuff, people had a massive go at Ellen Pau in a whole bunch of ways, which maybe she wasn't the right person to be CEO, maybe, and I'm fine with that, but she got an awful lot of flagrantly sexist abuse. People had a massive go about the fact that Victoria was gone, and she was the person who organised a lot of the AMAs. So if you're a moderator running AMAs, you had a contact inside Reddit Towers, and now you didn't. But a lot of this is Reddit's generic desire to blow up everything into some kind of let's march on the Bastille kind of.
It was interesting seeing the response, because, you know, a lot of this happened over the 4th of July weekend. And I read it every night before I go to sleep, right? So I go to bed, you know, while we're in Ohio, a family event. And it's just absolutely melting on the internet, right? And what I didn't quite understand was where the vitriol towards Ellen Pau came from. Was that just the lawsuit, or was the stuff that she was doing? Because I know there was the whole fat people shaming subreddit that was closed down or something like that. They started closing subreddits down.
Right.
And I think a lot of people presumed... a lot of people presumed that that was her,
Honestly,
it seems like the whole thing was just based upon hearsay, right? And
yeah,
then, of course, what happens is it comes forward and it seems like the board made some of these decisions and Ellen Power was actually trying to maintain some of these.
They did shut down a couple of particularly egregious subreddits, at which point you had an army of Redditors standing up quoting Voltaire. And Ellen Power was treated as the scapegoat for that. And in essence, she was CEO. So she is ultimately responsible for everything that happens. Again, I think she was scapegoated and accused considerably more unfairly than any action she might have taken deserved. But she's CEO, right? So she's ultimately responsible for the direction and the strategic approach of the site. But as I said, the problem is that they don't know what they want to do. They seem to want to say, well, we're not going to obstruct anyone's right to free speech, but equally we don't want this stuff on our site. And whether that's because they want to preserve advertising dollars or just because they genuinely think it's horrible or both.
you have to think that monetization has something to do with this, right? Because Reddit was born, if not as a bastion of free speech, even though they said that, they were born on the spirit of freedom of speech, right? And the community has very much coalesced around that thing. So repealing it, while obviously fully within their rights, I think will be the oncoming of the community and people will end up leaving. So they have to make a decision. I think they can't monetize the site as they want to currently because no advertiser wants a chance of their advertisements being next to some of the things that Reddit currently has. And I know they came out and said, okay, well, we're going to, instead of completely censoring things, we're going to censor the worst of things and then hide the rest of it. But the thing is, you already have people saying, well, you're still funding a place where all these terrible things happen. So while you might not see a Walmart ad next to one of those ridiculous communities, Walmart is still paying for it. And so by being able to take a screenshot of something terrible at Reddit and a different screenshot of Reddit with an ad, you're still saying, well, this is what you're funding.
Yeah, so people are judging Reddit only on, like, people will judge Reddit on the worst things as opposed to the best things.
Well,
right?
So, yeah. I mean, clearly.
Right.
I mean,
so they really have a difficult decision ahead of them.
Yeah,
I'm confused about all this. I mean, we keep talking about it, and the whole internet keeps talking about how Reddit is, you know, a bastion of free speech, or it was, or like Jeremy said, you know, it was kind of founded on like the ideals of free speech. And when I look at Reddit and I look at the structure of Reddit and how it works, it's kind of the exact polar opposite of that. It's not a bastion of free speech. It's not about providing a platform for people to talk in. It's about providing a platform allowing individual subgroups to censor themselves and to censor their community. The whole point of Reddit is not to provide people the opportunity to talk freely and openly in a democratic society. It's about censorship, and which is, I mean, if you go onto any subreddit, you know, people get banned, you know, you downvote things that you don't want to make sure disappear into the ether. The whole point is to put people down. The whole point is to suppress a dialogue. And what confuses me about this is, since that is the structure, that's how the site works, is suppression of dialogue, how is it that there are, again, enough of these just horrible things where it becomes the biggest white supremacist group on the planet on a site that's dedicated to censoring? How can those things exist without Reddit not implicitly wanting them there? Which tells me one very specific thing. Reddit as a company very much wants the white supremacist groups and these horrible groups there so that they can earn money off of it. I don't see any other reason for it considering the structure of their site.
I think you're making... That's a bit of a leap. I'd be very surprised if anyone at Condé Nast really wants...
They want money.
That horrible
shit.
Whether they really want that horrible shit. No, what they want, the impression that I get is that the executive team and the board, what they want is they want the very best of it. Reddit is a wonderful place where people can share ideas, they can share perspectives, and they can share funny stuff, and they can comment on it, and there's good stuff usually bubbles to the surface. I don't believe for a second that they want the white supremacist stuff. I don't believe that they want a lot of these horrible avenues.
No. So are you telling me that if they could, if they had the ability, they would get rid of those things? Because they have the ability, and if they don't get rid of it, that means they want it. That's how it works.
I think from their perspective, at least how I understand the direction they're going, is that they don't want to have to make a decision on what is morally correct at all. Because once you make that decision, you have to make it in every case, and what's morally acceptable to you is not morally acceptable to me.
They've already made that leap. They've already started banning things that they feel are morally acceptable.
Right, they haven't done that previously, so I think that's what they're doing now. But now they have a lot of tough decisions to make. Once you enter that fray, you have a whole... You've opened Pandora's box, and you're not closing it now.
So as a company, they ban the iPhone hack, the fappening, that's what it was. They ban that. They ban voyeurism and hacking. They ban shaming of fat people. But they're cool with white supremacy, which tells me that they're okay with it.
But well, hang on a second.
Or the numbers are too big that it's too much profit, so they don't want to
get rid of it. Previously, they drew the line at illegal. That was the clearly delineated line was illegal.
The thing is I'm not denying Brian for a second that their policy of banning is
and fat shaming is not
best.
Illegal. Horrible, mean, but not illegal. Right,
people in that community took it offline and were harassing the people in real life, which is where the legality came in.
So members of a subreddit do something else offline that is illegal, and that would get the subreddit shut down. But
well, then you have to make the decision if one person does something bad, do you have to ban it, or does it take two, or does it take 10, or does it, you know, that's,
but this is the thing, right? Just 2 points. One is, just because Reddit doesn't close down a particular subreddit, in my mind, does not mean that they're advocating the material or that they
do
want
they make money off of it.
Point number one,
advocate it.
Google. You must therefore believe that Google advocate everything on the internet. I mean, that's just not the way it works. The second point here,
everything
is
that they control.
The second point here is that. The issue that they've got, as far as I'm concerned, is that, to Jeremy's point, Reddit are trying to figure out how do they deal with the bad sides of Reddit, and they basically have opened up a Pandora box where I think there is essentially no solution, because the Reddit community has the Reddit community has basically lambasted Reddit for closing down some of the subreddits. Right. Other members of the Reddit community have lambasted Reddit for not closing down these things. So they're basically in a position where they've got no consistent policy, from what I can see, outside of, I believe, there's the whole thing about a subreddit can stay online, but when people inside of that subreddit start harassing people outside of that subreddit, then it becomes problematic. They've basically got no consistent policy, but what they're doing is they're going around policing it on individual ways, and that's what's causing these issues. But to say that that means that they advocate or that they are okay or that they want that material on Reddit, I think
if they don't want it, if they want it, they don't remove it.
So then, Brian, where would you draw the line?
It's logic. It doesn't matter.
New CEO of Reddit.
Honestly, and it truly, for me, it doesn't matter. Because honestly, I think Reddit is a fundamentally flawed concept. I think it's a terrible idea. I think it doesn't promote democracy. I think what it does is it promotes anger, vitriol, and censorship. I don't see value in the way they've designed it. I think some people have made it into something that can produce valuable things. There are some subreddits that the moderators work very hard to make it valuable, despite the fact that the infrastructure is just not there for it. But I don't think it really matters where I would draw the line or not for it, nor do I think it necessarily even matters where the Reddit people draw the line or not. The fact is, if they are the largest white supremacist group on the planet and they earn revenue based on that, if they are coming out and saying that they've already made this clear that they will remove subreddits that they don't agree with. Now, there are subreddits that have not posted, as far as I understand, illegal content, or the moderators don't actively engage in seeking out and promoting illegal content, that still get shut down. So that tells me that they simply are deciding what they like and what they don't like. That's all they're saying, or what's profitable or not profitable.
I'd agree.
So what they're saying
is
they
are saying that now anything like the white supremacy group won't show ads. Does that change your opinion at all?
No, because what they're doing is then they're saying, again, this is what comes, I can't remember if you or Jono said it, but basically, so if Walmart's advertising on Reddit, Walmart is effectively funding a white supremacist group. And I don't blame Walmart for that, although I would like to, because that would be funny for me. But
I was going to say, I'll blame Walmart for almost anything.
I tend to, but in this case, I would say, you know, let's say Canonical advertises on Reddit. Reddit and it directly funds a white supremacist group. They do that. They provide them services in order to enable them to have a community. Ergo, if you follow the money, Canonical is without a doubt funding a white supremacist group, though they wouldn't be then doing it on purpose. They're not going for it. So I think all Reddit is accomplishing here is making themselves look like a bunch of turd burglars, pissing off a lot of good people, pissing off a lot of bad people, and providing a place where good companies are inadvertently funding hate groups. And I think no matter how you look at it, it absolutely sucks. And I personally think Reddit should just explode, go away, and someone should come up, just you go somewhere better.
But just to clarify, that means your view of humanity is so low that a platform which enables anyone to talk is by definition a bad platform.
No, it's not about talking. It's about suppression. Reddit is not a platform of talking. It's a platform of suppression of talking. If a good handful of people...
How is it a platform of suppression of talking?
What was that?
Explain how it...
Sure.
I think he's saying when you can exercise your right completely freely, at some point you're going to infringe on some other people's rights by saying whatever you want.
You absolutely are.
Which, that part I do agree with.
And so Reddit, in two ways, they're directly seeking to censor. That's the way the site is designed. All posts and all comments can be downvoted, and by the moderators of the groups within them, banned completely and outright. That's directly not promoting free speech, if you really think about it. The whole idea is not...
But that's just
not,
in a specific subreddit. They still have a platform on the site as a whole... If one thing that would get downvoted in one subreddit would certainly get uploaded in a different subreddit.
Yeah.
So you seem to be kind of conflating individual subreddits with the site as a whole.
It's absolutely Reddit itself as a company runs the entirety of the site, and they rely on individual, basically volunteers, to run the individual parts of it. But Reddit as a whole has total mammoth power. They have total admin control over everything. So if anything happens, they are sanctioning it, maybe inadvertently, but that's what they're doing.
But you're simultaneously arguing that Reddit are making money or publicity or whatever off of having terrible things happen on their site,
yeah,
and arguing that Reddit is a home of censorship, right?
Yes.
Which means that there's no way any discussion forum at all can avoid those charges. Either you let everything go, at which point you're profiting from it, or you don't let everything go, at which point you are censored. That applies just as much to community.badvoltage.org as it does to Reddit.
It absolutely does not. And here's why. If you go to community.badvoltage.org and Jono posts something just ridiculous, as he is wont to do, we don't all dogpile on him and downvote him into oblivion. His post stands. We have the choice to respond to it. In Reddit, if they only had, say, an upvote button, we'd see what people liked the most. Sure. But that's not the design of Reddit. Reddit is designed to downvote, to hide, and to suppress. Those are the features that the site has. Community.badvoltage.org
There is a distinction there. There's a distinction there, I think, between the community doing the censorship and Reddit, the company, providing the platform.
Exactly. Yes? There is a distinction.
Right. Okay. So, in your opinion, Reddit shouldn't profit from terrible things happening on Reddit, and simultaneously the community shouldn't be able to hide those things.
Oh, I did not say any of that. I simply said it doesn't. I didn't say they shouldn't. I just said that's what's happening. They are profiting because of white supremacy. They are profiting because of hacking people's iPhones and stealing their naked pictures. They are absolutely, unequivocally profiting off that, and they chose and are continuing to actively choose to do so. Is it bad? I'm not saying that. Is it good? I'm not saying that either. But they are doing it. To say that they're not, it would be completely blind.
Right. So the same argument can be applied to the Gap profiting from white supremacy if white supremacists buy their trousers. Google is profiting from white supremacy if people use Gmail and say something racist in it.
No, right? it's more akin to say NBC profiting because they give a white supremacist group an uncensored 1 hour during primetime every day without having to pay for it. That's a little bit more akin to what Reddit is providing. They're providing a free platform for organization and promotion. And that's a very different thing than, say, going to the Gap and buying some trousers. If the Gap put a bunch of white supremacist modeling in their storefront window with signs about how black people suck a whole bunch, then that would be a little bit more along the same lines.
And I think you have a fair point in that by Reddit tolerating it, they are by definition not dealing with it, right? I mean, Reddit can't say, "Hey, we've got nothing to do with white supremacy," because by not removing it, they are tolerating it, and I think that's a fair charge. But your accusation earlier on was that they want that, and I don't think that's fair to say. But irrespective, what do you guys think they're going to do? Because it seems like the problem here is that, and I think to Brian's point, they've built a platform that allows this kind of stuff to flourish. But it seems like at this point in their history, they are unwilling or unable to deal with that kind of crap on Reddit for the fear of alienating the wider user base. Because in my mind, what I'd do if I was there, I'd basically say, yes, we are going to remove some of this stuff. And yes, some of you won't like the fact that Reddit has become a place where censorship is occurring and we are restricting your freedom of speech. But you know what? Racists don't get a right to freedom of speech because we don't like racists. We're going to remove this stuff, and if that means you all go to vote, then so be it. Like, I take a fairly blunt approach, Reddit would lose 30% of its crowd.
I'm roughly with you on that point. I think the needle they're trying to thread is they don't want a lot of this stuff on the site. And I think the reason the whole bastion of free speech thing is inconsistent is because I think 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, they really did believe they want that. And now they're, having spent 5 years seeing what you get if you say we are a bastion of free speech, they've gone, you know what? We don't want to be that anymore. And they've changed their minds. But they want to thread that needle and say, right, we want to not have this stuff while still remaining the 10th most visited site on the internet. And whether they can manage that, because I mean, I honestly don't think there are that many people who are in themselves so offended by Reddit abandoning true free speech ideals that they would leave. But you've got a big snowball effect. A few people make a really big noise about that being a problem, and lots of other people leave on the back of that, whether they wouldn't necessarily have done so independently. I think
fixing this leads to the ultimate demise of Reddit, full stop, with almost no other paths forward. I don't think really? There's a tenable solution. Yeah, I think you see communities that are steeped in the beginning in the culture that Reddit is steeped in. When they try to formalize and change, they destroy the community. It's not possible, I think, to do so otherwise. Changing cultures in a community is nearly impossible. I mean, it's the things you think won't make a difference are...
So you would say that they've essentially spent the last 5 years existing in a kind of temporal arbitrage where they knew they had a problem, but as long as no one else had noticed, they could get away with it. Now everyone suddenly started noticing, then they're going to lose. But the seeds of that demise were sown 5, 6
long
years ago.
No, I think they could have kept going had they chosen to realize that the direction that they chose at the beginning would result in some terrible things existing on Reddit. And if they're fine with that, then they're fine with that. But to change that, I think it's too late to change that now. And I think the other problem they're having is that they're so arbitrary and they're choosing so many different directions with no clear path, with no clear vision, I don't think. When I started LQ, I very quickly decided that I wanted to have a few things in my leadership that remain consistent. It was truth, honesty, humility, transparency, accountability, and consistency. And those things I've stayed true to. And I think they don't have really any of those things, right? No one's really accountable. They're highly not transparent with what they do. They have shown nearly no humility, nearly no honesty. And, you know, obviously their consistency is not.
Those are the things communities need, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they have shown they're not willing to really do any of those things.
I mean, I think Jeremy's right that changing the rules or the culture of a community to the extent that they would need to change it to fix this issue, it's always going to be a problem. The thing that I don't quite understand about this, and I guess it's just because they started out with a free-for-all policy, is that most websites, most services have a fairly standard policy of, if you post anything that incites hatred or violence or is racist or, you know, that kind of stuff, then you'll be banned or you'll be kicked off this. And most people are happy within the parameters of that because that's just how the web tends to work. And what I'm not sure about is there's a lot of yelling about you know, suppression of freedom of speech. But if they did, let's say, unilaterally decide to just ban a bunch of subreddits that met the typical criteria of racism and all the rest of it, I'm not 100% convinced that as many people would leave as we think they would. I think a lot of people would leave. There would be a massive uproar. But then I think most people would realize that most 99% of their subreddits that they use will continue to behave in the way that they operate.
I would agree with that. And I think I'd be, if everyone complaining about this and nailing themselves to the cross about free speech and quoting Voltaire decides to go to vote because they feel offended that their right to have a conversation about raping dead women on someone else's website has been infringed, fuck those people, right? Leave. Great. And what remains of Reddit, to my mind, will be fine. I agree with the leave part, but
as long as Reddit is fine, understanding that they're not a top 10 website anymore, probably not a top 100, probably not a top 1,000.
If they're willing to
lay a bunch of people off and be much smaller, but a higher quality site that does not incite terrible things, that's a fine decision to make, but you have to make it knowing the decision that you're making.
Yeah.
Right? And I think the one thing that people forget is online communities, when they die, they can die fast. Look at how Digg went from millions and millions and millions of users to none in a month.
Yeah. That's exactly the thing they're torn between. I think that a lot of their financing and their corporate owners and so on want them to remain a top 10 website. They want to be in a position where Barack Obama comes and does an AMA, which doesn't happen if you're the 1,342nd most popular site on the internet.
Right.
And I don't think that needle's threadable. I really don't.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think if they don't fix this, they're going to have to make a decision, because if they don't fix this, the public image of Reddit will be tarnished to such a point where they won't be able to derive revenue, and they will, the community will leave and they won't be able to derive revenue. But it seems to me they've only got one option. They're going to have to deal with the white supremacy type stuff. Otherwise, I can't see how them as an operation is going to continue. So anyway, what do you folks think? You can see that we're a bit torn, and there's so much meat on this bone in terms of what's going to happen.
I was going to say, this is a topic I think we could talk about for another hour, but...
Yeah. So what do you think? Go to community.badvoltage.org and share your thoughts. Like, do you think it's fixable? What do you think the solution to this should be? And what do you think of the current management and what they're doing?
A little while back, news hit of this crazy bastard called Baz Lansdorp, who started this this project called Mars One. And the basic goal here is to establish a permanent human colony on Mars. Now, this sounds like something out of Total Recall. And the way in which he wants to go about it is to have basically a one-way ticket to Mars, where, you know, some of these astronauts will go out to Mars. It'll take a while to get there, and they ain't coming back. And I don't mean that they're going to go and have a lovely life on Mars. It means that they are potentially going to, well, they're definitely going to die on Mars, but they may die on the way to Mars.
I was going to say, they might not even make it to Mars.
Right. So, you know, it seems like a pretty good deal all around. So he, you know, announced this, and then they, you know, they looked for, you know, they look for people to join, to come and, you know, participate in this. Now, when I heard this, I was expecting, you know, there was going to be not that many people are going to want to have a suicide trip to Mars. But by the 9th of September, they had nearly 3,000 people had applied and paid their registration fee to do this. So the question is, is this just absolute insane science fiction? Are they actually going to be able to get there? Is the first thing. Second thing, is this okay? I mean, it's one thing for someone to say, you know, yeah, I'll go to Mars and I'll die on the way, but is that something okay for people to do? And then the other thing is this just a big kind of, is this just a big con or is it a real thing? Because there's some people out there in the space world, and I'm not a space dork by any stretch of the imagination, who think that this is a bit of a scam. What do you guys think about this?
I think it's complete and utter nonsense in the framework of how they've laid things out, because they're trying to raise, they said $6 billion, but anyone who seems to be really into the topic seems to think that that is massively, massively underestimating what they're going to need. And despite that, I'm shocked, but they've raised $172,000 to date, which astounds me. Now, that said, I think the general concept is an absolutely awesome one. I think we should go to Mars and probably will. I mean, Elon Musk is already on record saying, I plan on retiring to Mars. And he's a very smart guy who I would personally not bet against. This particular project, on the other hand, seems maybe well-intentioned, but kind of like a pipe dream.
Right. What do you think?
It's not a pipe dream. It's not just a pipe dream. It's a dream of not just a pipe, but a whole oil refinery, right?
It is the Alaskan pipeline of pipe dreams.
It's the Alaskan pipeline.
Seriously, it's like me going, okay, I'm basically doing a Kickstarter for the Chocolate One project. Well, what I want to do is get a bunch of money and then build the moon out of Dairy Milk chocolate. It is stupid on a level I barely knew existed.
Which is saying something.
I was going to say, right? I mean, there's a pretty high bar to clear. I mean, I have no problem with the fact that the people want to do it. I'm not surprised that it's got a lot of interest. And, I mean, there's something mildly compelling. If they're going to pick five people and send them off to Mars, even if you're going to die on the way there or die when you get there, there's a lot of people who queue up to take that risk. Why wouldn't you? It'd be cool.
Am I the only one that finds it odd that only four or five people are going and they're completely randomly, it's seemingly taking people, not the fittest or the most able to fix a spacecraft mid-space for a year. It's like ex-hairdressers and things that...
At least they'll have nice-looking hair
when the spaceship explodes.
To my mind, that's what I think's interesting, that if what you want is something where you've got the four or five best trained people in the world to fix this, then you're not this guy's project, you're NASA. NASA are already doing that. The whole reason why this is interesting is not that you can spend 20 years training someone, then they can go to Mars. You want to be able to just take a dude off the street and say, you can travel to Mars in the same way that you can travel to Buffalo.
But do you think the first time you travel to Mars should be random people or people of the level? I would think the sad part here is that NASA is not doing this.
NASA aren't doing it. Agreed.
I think that's part of the reason. I think part of the reason why this struck me as being a whirring typhoon of bullshit is because part of the plan here of how they want to generate revenue is to make a reality TV show of the mission as well.
Which starts next year. They want to start the actual show.
Well, you see, I don't think that's a stupid idea at all. There's a shed load of money out there in this sort of thing.
There is, but I mean, it's like they're picking a bunch of random people who are not trained in space flight to make a reality TV, and they're going to basically put them on board the world's largest rocket and fire it at Mars, right?
Well, yeah, but...
I mean, it's like something out of Austin Powers. I mean,
well, of course it's, but that's the beauty of it, right? That it's thinking really, really big. This is, as far as I'm aware, the only project in history where the phrase, it's a moonshot, is literally an understatement, right?
Yeah. Do we think it's going to even happen? Because they charge registration fees for people who are going to do this.
Of course, it's not going to happen.
No, but what I mean is they could have a crack at trying to raise the funding, right? NASA said that for an austere manned Mars mission, it was going to cost a projected $100 billion.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Now, they've raised, admittedly, what, about 200 grand?
This is the point. And even if they say, you know, we're going to work on radically different ways of doing it and we don't work the way NASA does, and what they eventually end up saying is, we're going to send five people and we're going to get 100,000 guys on push bikes pedaling at the the bottom of the rocket or something, then fine, whatever.
$172,000 is probably not enough money to buy the amount of Tang you would need to make it to Mars.
There is no way they will. And not only will they not get the amount of money they need, they won't get within three or four orders of magnitude of the amount of money they need.
I am waiting hour by hour to see who the crack team of astronauts they have picked from this group would be. Because they're probably going to pick a team. If it's for a reality TV show, they're probably going to pick a team in the same way that One Direction was manufactured, right? They're going to have like the edgy guy, and they're going to have the pretty boy, and they're going to have all these different roles. I would love to see the
actually, if this Brady means bunch. Getting rid of Bieber, I would say I hope it happens. Let's put him on there.
But you know, I mean, it's nice to think that someone is putting together a project where the idea of going to Mars is actually within the range of ordinary people like we want it to be, rather than some 20-year trained test pilot who can bench press a Buick, right?
But I think the odds of that second guy making it are slim to none, so the odds of the first group of people making it are infinitesimal at best.
Well, the point is, I don't believe they're going to get anywhere close to the amount of money.
But I really would like to see humanity doing these kind of projects again. Like I said, I think it's a net loss for everyone that we're not doing moonshots anymore. That's why I think Elon Musk is...
Totally agree with you.
Didn't the original... One of the original moon projects, didn't they fix one of the computers with like a piece of gum and a...
Yeah, well, absolutely. And that's the beauty of this sort of thing.
They fixed it with a piece of gum?
I think they fixed it with a piece of gum and a paper clip or something. It was something crazy. I don't remember the exact story, but...
In this case, they're going to get to Mars and someone's going to be like, did you remember the map?
Right. Space travel's inspirational. I mean, I freely admit it's less inspirational if what you've picked is five Northampton scallies from a reality TV show and put them on, made them the first people in human history to walk on the surface of another planet. But that's not the point.
I mean, if I said I was going to raise $6 billion to swim to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, would you think that was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I wonder what's down there.
But it's inspirational. I donate to your Kickstarter.
In other news, apparently the president is going to be sent to an asteroid to mine it as well. So it sounds, I'm going to try and pick up on the subtlety of this discussion, that it sounds like we don't think it's got a lot of merit to it.
I applaud the basic idea. I like the idea of doing something unimaginably huge, because that's one of the big ways that progress is made. Absolutely. However, I think even on the scale of unimaginably huge projects, basically kickstartering the world's first manned mission to Mars is a bit of a reach.
Yeah, this project is bollocks.
Bit of a reach. A little while ago, we had a fun little competition called The Weakest Geek, and it went down pretty well because it had really kind of very little to do with Linux, and it was pretty funny and hilarious, I think. So in the interest of producing content that is unfathomable, we have a brand new competition that is called the Bad Voltage Versification Perversification Competition. Now, let me explain this very briefly how this is going to work. It's basically a poetry competition, right? So I posted a message to the forum last week at community.badvoltage.org and said, we're going to have a poetry competition, mainly because Brian thinks he's so good at poetry and we want to show him up.
God damn it.
But here's the thing. The community get to suggest the words, right? So the community went in there and suggested all kinds of words, most of which we can't say.
I was going to say,
spell.
And they did not disappoint.
Right, that we have to use in our poems. And then what we've got to do is we have to use those words in each poem. You know, so if the word is used more than once, we have to use that more than once in the poem. And then we will present the poems on the show. Now, the winner of the poetry competition then gets to choose a community member who made their life particularly difficult and punish them by choosing an image for them to change their avatar forum to. So that's avatar on the forum too. So that's basically how this works. Now, we were saying, you know, obviously, this is a poetry competition. This is a work of literary genius. And we need someone who is going to be able to provide that level of intellect and insight and creative... I'm running out of long words to say, but basically a genius who can come on here and judge this competition fairly. So who better
than Leslie Hawthorne from Elasticsearch, formerly of Google and Red Hat and elsewhere. Leslie, how are you doing?
Very well, thanks, Jono. Also, it's good to know that I have you completely snowed, that I am classy, intelligent, and ingenious. So, woohoo, rock on!
Yeah.
There it is.
You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. So, Leslie, you're gonna walk us through this. We're going to go through each person one by one. You're going to mention the words they've got to say. So, over to you.
All right, so let's go ahead and get started with Brian, and I'll go ahead and read out your word list before we listen to your gorgeous poetry. Mm-hmm. And good luck to you, because some of these words I cannot properly pronounce.
Good, me neither.
Chaotic, unilinuxy, erotographomania, dono, love, elementary OS, hide, minger, numpty.
God. Here we go. This is a poem that's not about Jono. I swear to God, it's not about Jono. Listen, I'm telling you, it's not about Jono. It's not about Jono. It's not about Jono. It's not about his love for elementary OS. That passion grows deeper with each caress. All through the night, British-y cries of, oh yes, and other weird shit, but I digress. I've got an idea. Let's talk about Stuart. Please, oh dear Lord, let us talk about Stuart and sing of his love for the parallel port, the most numpty minger to be queen consort. Though Scots have a nickname for him indeed, feckin' limey bastard with a red heed. And his underwear is, naturally, made from fine tweed. I don't know why I wrote that. Probably the weed. What was I talking about? Oh, right, not Jono. Hey, that guy Jeremy, he's also not Jono. Guess what rhymes with Jono? Bono rhymes with Jono. Luckily, this poem is in no way about Jono. Jeremy is a man who is not on Linuxy. His erotographomania is always DRM-free. He watches MTV down in Tennessee while sniffing potpourri. And that's why I screen his caller ID. Oh, geez, I better wrap this poem up quick. Luckily, it's pretty rad, so I think it'll do the trick. Fish, stick, drop kick, sleepy dick. I bet you guys were wondering how I was going to work in steatopygic.
Yay!
Bang, bang.
So I'm deeply impressed, but I have to point out a fatal flaw here, which is, as we all know from, you know, his long and storied career, it's always all about Jono. So
always. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Very good.
That was quite good. Right. I appreciated your use of stay out of Pidgeot.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I like that I got the chance to rhyme something with sleepy dick. So that was a big moment for me.
Career highlight. Who's next? Quite possibly.
Very nice. All right, so Jeremy, you're up next, and here is your word list. Gongoozler, pseudo-perpendicular, autogonostophilia. I'm so glad I don't know what these mean.
You're especially glad on that one.
Answers, dauber, straw mash, and once again, numpty makes a lovely reappearance.
And I'll point out, because Leslie's reading from Jono's list from the forum, that Jono forgot aluminium or aluminum, which I did work in.
Oh, it's totally aluminium.
Yes.
I actually wrote a verse for both and chose between them, and I ended up going with the aluminum verse, but
yeah. Well prepared. Very nice.
Yeah. Take it away, Jeremy.
All right. As I pick up the mic I left on the stage of the community forum, I hope as I get going, the three of you numpties can keep your decorum. Although I live by the Erie Canal terminus, I'm no gongoozler, and I didn't promote the Mars One project because I'm no bamboozler. I'm not sure why Craig Maloney picked the word autogenostophilia, but I'm pretty sure on that one, the Marquis de Sade is the only one who'd feel ya. While this improbable steward has a pseudo-perpendicular dauber that's stramish, I'm happy to say I don't know the answer for sure, lest my cerebral cortex I'd have to demolish. You Brits invented the language, but some of your pronunciations are just dumb. We won the war, we get to decide. So from now on, aluminum. I must concede that in reality, none of my co-presenters can be classified as a numpty. Although, I'll go out on a limb here and guess none of them can dance. Not even the Humpty. Since I used four of my words in a single sentence, I'm out already, but I'll continue my dosage. Because we all know the show doesn't really start until I say, and now, bad voltage.
Yeah!
Yes.
Nice!
There it is!
I am deeply impressed, but I have to ding you for your use of aluminum now that I live across the pond.
It was a tough choice. It was a tough choice.
Yeah, you suck. You suck, Jeremy.
Dude, way to represent.
Wow. I have to say, I'm not feeling very good about my poem at this point.
I'm not feeling good about pronouncing your word list, so. Okay.
That was very impressive.
Are we ready to head all over to Stuart to wax poetic for us?
I can do that.
All right, sir. Your word list is
prestidigitation.
I feel like I have not done sufficient research. Flossin hippolification. My lord, I'm glad I don't know what that is either. Sounds like bird flu. Diaspora. Watermelon-esque. Cocksackle. Humble. Compassionate. Bossack. Scunner. Numpty.
Okay.
Wow us.
Yeah, I don't know what the rest of the words mean either. Right.
I think we're probably in a very good place there.
From minute little acorns, great oak trees might grow. At least that's what we said when we set up this show. To amuse and enlighten, bicker and crack, as a hedge for the day when we all get the sack. And the show's verbal methods, prestidigitation, or perhaps flocky-knocky nihilipilification. That's the action or habit of calling it worthless. Like our podcasting rivals, remarkably mirthless. Because of our secret weapon, our argument lion. The jocks call him a boresack, but I call him Brian. A man with a scunner for equitable fight, even given those times he's unwelcomely right. Mr. Bacon, who had the original idea and is forced into playing our sound engineer. Because the hell with Ubuntu. Incentivized prize. Contribution to beardage or grand larceny of pies. Then there's Jezza, the sole beard among us in fashion and the one in the team with an ounce of compassion. Always ready to seize. Opportunity knocks. Grab the low-hanging fruit if he stands on a box. Last, a ginger who thinks over fondly of fondant, the poet of poets, your humble respondent. A wit that's incisive, a manner burlesque, and a figure, alas, rather watermelon-esque. Now, for judging. Which numpty best summoned their powers? Give the garland to them, and then argue for hours over which forum poster will choose as our lackey and who made the worst pun around words like cocksacky. Go tweet it, or Facebook, or Windows Explorer, or what my teammates insist should be called Diaspora, because we don't want this place feeling quiet as a morgue. So come join us, community.badvoltage.org.
Yeah, nice.
That was good. That's good.
Stuart, that was quite lovely, but I just wanted to let you know that John Dunn called, and he would like his acorn oak tree metaphor back.
I know, I'm sorry.
Beautiful verse in the fine English British tradition. All right, Sean, I am not even going to try to pronounce your first word. Can you
pneumono ultra microscopic silico volcano coniosis?
Stuart, you amaze and delight at all times. Well done. Mammoth rept, kale, Brian, taste, mandible, freckle knuckle, and numpty.
Once upon a midnight scale, while I pondered cabbage and kale, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten Brian, while I nodded, actual numpty, suddenly I became all grumpy. As of someone gently furkle-knuckling at my chamber door. 'Tis some mammothrept, I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more. I distinctly remember, it was in bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the pneumono ultra-microscopic silico-volcano calliosis. Motherfuckers. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I'd sought to borrow from my books a cease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, dryer sheets, for the rare and radiant mandible, from the angel's name Lenore, dryer sheets, nameless taste forevermore. deal with it.
Jonna, why are you eating dryer sheets?
I don't know. Also, I don't know what Lenore is. I don't know what Lenore is, but I know it's a brand of dryer sheets.
Two
England.
Things. First of all, the Lenore, which is stuff for dryers, is not Lenore from the Edgar Allan Poe poem. Secondly, Poe has literally just exploded in his grave, wherever it is.
With the not eating dryer sheets.
Yeah.
So
I admit that I somewhat inspired that poem from Edgar Allan Poe.
A little bit.
Okay. Judging.
Love it.
So, all right. So the moment of truth, Leslie, you beautiful, insightful woman.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. This is a really tough call. I'm deeply torn. We've got Syl with his beautiful, fine English verse tradition. We have Jonna, who's braving, you know, the test of imbibing certain laundry chemicals for our edification. Oh, my goodness. And Jeremy with his aluminum, which is true for where he sits. But I think, gentlemen, I'm going to have to go with Brian.
Yay!
Good luck, job, Brian.
Oh, that feels good.
I would like to know, sir, just if have you already chosen the person that you intend to change their avatar? Or,
you know, here's the thing. I have not chosen at this point. I will by the end of the show. I assumed I was going to lose to Jeremy, to be honest with you. I thought that was a foregone conclusion. Yeah. No. This is very important that I win, because then I win. So let's go ahead and stick to that. But whoever I do choose is going to get it. You know what? Actually, whatever the guy was that made me choose Heed, H-E-I-D, whoever it was that suggested that.
That would be Nero.
Nero,
without even checking,
guy.
I bet you that's Nero.
Because that's the one. That's because he made me have to do a pseudo almost Scottish accent, and that was very hard for me, and he should suffer that.
Let me check who did he.
Bet you a dollar it was Nero.
It was Nero.
Nero. It's you, man.
So Brian, before Leslie has to run off, what do you want to change Nero's avatar?
You could change it to anything you want to. For instance, you might want to change it to an English flag, the flag of St. George or something like that, because he'd love that.
That'd be...
And that's what you get when you pick a bunch of Scots words with the hope of laughing quietly at all of us mispronouncing.
Now, is Nero a Scottish dude? Here. Is he Scottish?
Yeah, he's Scottish.
Oh, then absolutely doing that. Yes, we're absolutely, exactly.
What about the Queen? I mean, the other option is the Queen.
Yes.
Maybe the Queen on a British flag.
What would be more insulting? Just a beautiful picture of the Queen's head or the flag?
That God Maybe. Saves the Queen picture, I say.
All right, Queen. Queen it is.
Yeah.
We're going Queen.
Oh, maybe even one of the little signs saying, say no to independence. Well, that's when you pick a bunch of deliberately Scots words in order to laugh at us.
We go simple. We're going the Queen. We're going to go the Queen. I'll find the best picture and I'll put it up in the forum for him.
Victory.
Right. Excellent. Wonderful. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us to judge the competition.
Thanks, Brian.
And we hope to see you on Bad Voltage at some point again in the future.
Sounds lovely. Yeah, thanks, Leslie. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Leslie.
Take care, Leslie. Bye.
So there you have it. That's the end of the Lash Together Bad Voltage episode. My apologies on behalf of the whole team for the fact that this really was thrown together. This is a dollar store podcast episode, if there was one. You know, we really did set out to make a normal Bad Voltage episode. We had the content lined up, we had an interview lined up, and it's just the gremlins snuck in. It turns out you should never, ever depend on wireless networking at any conference anywhere. Even if you go to a conference that is dedicated to wireless networking, you should never depend on it because it will suck. Also, and this is going to be a surprise to probably most of you, it turns out that the microphone in a laptop is not very good. I've spent like 20 years being interested in the tiniest details of audio engineering, and I didn't even think of that. So my audio sucked. Brian's was better. But yeah, this was just a bit of a disaster on all points. But you know what? That's what you get. What do you want from us? We do our best, and you get what you get in the can. We'll be back together on the next one. We'll all be at home recording as normal. Sorry again for this one being a bit late. I encourage all of you to send an email to show@badvoltage.org and yell at us and tell us how we suck and how we make a terrible podcast that's late that has really only one segment on it. So anyway, without any further ado, I'm going to switch this thing off because it's just me. And the idea of me talking at the end of this show was really a lot better than the reality. So, all right, see you later.